I'm Wendell.
And I'm Patrick.
And
this is
Yes
But Why
Podcast.
Oh, great. Cool. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day to chat with us. Do you have a day job or a night, or are we taking you away from your night job?
No. I just do comedy and podcasts. That's my job.
Lucky.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was a cop for 8 years and
ooh.
I got hurt. I had to retire early. And but while I was a cop, I was doing stand up, and then I got hurt, and I really was able to do it full time. And then the podcast came out of that. So,
Wow.
Silver linings.
That's a hell of a start to a career.
Yeah.
Wow. Sure. Interesting. So, and I'm so excited for you that you can be full time. Comedy podcasting, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it, me and my co-host Greg, who's he's a comic too, we love it a lot.
Well, so now I'm curious, how much of your early stand-up came from your interacting with people as a cop?
Honestly, none.
Oh, wow.
Really? You are
crying. I don't know, let's all be honest here. Law enforcement isn't liked by all, so
right,
I don't really talk about it. I talk about it a lot on my show, like the podcast, because people are interested in,
right.
You find your audience, and your audience starts to like you, and then people who don't like us obviously aren't gonna listen to us, right? So
yeah.
I have more freedom to tell. I've told crazy stories in our show, But as far as comedy goes, I keep it, well rounded.
Yeah. Hmm. Good deal. So I'm always asking writing questions as far as comedy goes. So are you one of those people where every day you're sitting down writing new stuff, or are you kind of fine tuning?
I should, but I'm also lazy. So
I know how that goes. If I don't have
I definitely try.
Okay. Yeah, I'm one of those people, if I don't have a deadline, then it's kind of hard for me to sit down and actually get to it, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have to make a concerted effort to sit down and be like, all right, what was that thing I was thinking about? Like, it's funny because the reason I left the NYPD is because I got injured, but I got three major concussions in like a 2-3 year time span.
Oh, wow.
And I forget things. Like I have a slight memory problem now from the concussions.
Right.
And if I don't write things down, like I forget jokes all the time.
Oh.
You're gonna have that note.
So I'll have a premise. Yeah, I'll have a premise of a joke and be like, oh, that's funny. And then the next day I'm like, what was it? I just like totally lost. So I'm like, I might come back to me, I might not.
Yeah.
And just let it go.
Wow, so I just heard that, just to jump back, you said you were in the NYPD? You're in Pennsylvania. It didn't immediately occur to me that you the police department you retired from was the New York Police Department. That's crazy.
I got married last year and moved out here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice. Moving for love. I like that. That's nice.
Yeah. No, it's only about 50 minutes from Staten Island. I'm from Staten Island. New York.
Awesome.
So it's only 50 minutes. It's not far at all.
Oh, right on. I also kind of recognized the, when you gave me the phone number, I was like, hey, wait a minute. That's not Pennsylvania.
No, that's New York.
Keep that number.
Yeah, why would you change numbers? You don't have to anymore.
No.
There's nothing, there's no long distance.
Oh.
Kept mine for 17 years. Still good.
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm keeping that number for life.
Absolutely. My husband lived in Maine for like 2 years, and yet he still keeps that Maine phone number. Because people, it's so novel.
Yeah, no
people
point,
are like,
yeah.
Huh, wow, that's, they never forget that number.
Yeah, people always look at me when I give numbers, and I'm like, 718, and they're like, no, what's the area code? I'm like, 718. It's that.
Oh, man. So you moved out to Pennsylvania for love. That's nice. That's
cool. Oh, it's so fucking joyous.
Oh, I'm married too. I get it. So how's Pennsylvania? What's Pennsylvania like?
It's not New York, and I like it. So.
Okay.
Oh.
I wasn't sure where that was going.
I'm over it. I'm over cities. I'm over concrete everywhere. It's just it's too crowded. I mean, again, I lived and worked on Staten Island, and it's a 14 by 7 mile wide island, and there's, I think, close to 600,000 people on it. It's like way too crowded. Yeah. When I go back there now, as soon as I cross the bridge, I get like anxiety. I'm like, here we go. I just can't deal with it anymore.
Oh yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm from Boston originally, so we should hate each other, but don't worry about it.
It's okay. I have family up there, actually.
We moved to separate places. We're different. There's no Pennsylvania-Texas beef. We're good.
Yes, true.
But I used to go to New York.
All my sports loyalties lie in New York, obviously.
Sure. I have zero sports loyalties, so it really works for me. It's kind of fine. I don't care what happens.
Perfect. You're good.
Yeah.
No, you're good.
I used to go to New York all the time when I was a kid, you know, being like, I'm going to go to New York City, and you can take a bus. And I know that feeling you were talking about, that... all of a sudden, as soon as you get into the city limits of New York, you can like feel an energy, a like wild intensity. You're like, oh God, anything can happen.
Yeah. Again, I was born there. I was raised there. I always say this, like, if you learn how to drive in New York, you could drive anywhere in this country with ease. There's nowhere in this country I can't go and not be able to fit in driving. Like, I've driven in L.A., which is really bad, too. You know, I drive there, no problem. And, like, my wife is, like, freaking out. I'm like, what? This is normal. Like, you know, it's just... So there's benefits, you know. It's not so much the driving. It's just, like, the overcrowdedness of it that gets me.
Man.
Yeah, I go back to my parents' place. There's about 3,000 people in our city, so I'm like, how does anyone ever get in a wreck here? There is no one on the roads ever.
You never see anybody on the road, and when you do, it's because you went to meet them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind that, though. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm over it.
Yeah, wild.
So what's the comedy scene like out where you are right now, comparatively?
It's pretty good. I mean, I still go to New York a lot because it's not far. But Philly is really good, actually. I feel like Philly is very underrated in the comedy scene. I feel like there's a lot of good comics here, and it's not New York or L.A. Well, it shouldn't matter anymore. This isn't the 70s.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, where you could be accessed via the social media or whatever, anywhere.
Yep.
There's still a stigma where if you're not in New York or not in L.A., you're not like a real comic. And I started in New York, and I still go to New York, but I also do comedy. I do it all over the East, like, you know, Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Connecticut, you know, stuff like that. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, I would love to go to L.A., but, I'm bound by family obligations as of now that I can't talk my way out of going with me to L.A.
I know I can't convince my husband either.
Yeah.
We're not going to L.A. But you know what? It's okay.
No,
fuck L.A.
I like
it. Yeah, we don't need to. We live in perfectly lovely towns that have good comedy scenes. We get that a lot in Austin as well.
Yeah.
People, the
Austin
comedy
is
scene
a great
is
town.
Huge. Yeah, but the comedy scene is intense. Like, it is massive how much comedy
I
there
know.
Is.
Yeah. I would. I believe the Moonlight Tower Comedy Festival is in Austin, right?
That's great.
Yeah, Moon Tower Comedy Festival. It's great.
Moon Tower, right. Yeah. That just happened, what, a month ago?
I think it was April.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple months ago.
Right.
Couple months ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
after
South by Southwest.
I would love to get invited to go to that. I would 100% go.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's the thing about Moon Tower. South by Southwest is well, mostly famous people, but it's getting bigger in that they do some comedy as well, but Moon Tower is all, like, invite-only, you know what I mean? Like, some comics get it, some do not.
Right.
That being said, I think a few well-placed tweets and a couple of, like, you know, bumps to people involved in the festival, and you'd probably get get a call for sure.
There's always loopholes.
Yeah, for sure. But even local comics are sometimes like, oh yeah, they didn't ask me. And it's like, well, you know, they're trying to do a smattering of famous people and new blood,
right.
And you're somewhere in the middle, I guess. But
right.
But yeah, the city is big enough. Yet we also still get that New York, you're not New York or LA kind of BS. I'm like, there's a yep. lot of great stuff going on here, and we have a lot more freedoms and a lot more stage time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing yep. about the big cities, so many people doing with so much competition, they're taking there's only so much stage time you can even get because there's just a limited amount and so many people vying for it. Whereas in the smaller towns and the smaller cities, like, you can be on stage every night of the week. You can really exercise that muscle. You can really work out your routine, and it's not like, you know, you're going to become famous after three stand-up sets in L.A.
Right. Totally agree with you. I mean, again, starting in New York, it's like, all right, you have 2 minutes. It's like, that's not even a setup to a story.
Right.
But at the same time, learning how to do that in itself is a craft, and it actually does help in the long run.
Yes.
But, it's bullshit. Yeah, it's not really fair.
Yeah, it doesn't give the people that need to work out stuff even time to work it out.
Right.
That's why the famous people do a bunch yeah. of weird shit. Maybe a couple months ago, I kept hearing about how Dave Chappelle kept showing up on other people's shows. Like, he'd just appear, and nobody's going to yeah. say no. Like, if Dave Chappelle shows up to your comedy show and says, like, hey, can I, you know, do a few minutes? You're like, yeah. Yeah, you can.
There's stories of... Yeah. Oh no. Well, dude, there's stories of Chappelle going to the Comedy Cellar in New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And literally doing 8-hour, like, rants. Not rants, but like.
Yeah.
Just no written material. Just straight yeah. up, just riffing
off
for
the cuff,
8
yeah.
hours.
I think that's
that
what he does now.
Crazy.
And there's that poor guy with his notes for his 5 minutes that he's waiting for.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle riffing is better than my whole entire set.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle riffing is better than everything I've ever written in my 20 years of doing theater.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But hey, you get those guys that are just phenoms, you know, just monsters.
Yeah.
So if it's not gauche to ask, and if it is, you can tell me. How do you work full time in comedy and podcasting? Where's the revenue coming?
Oh, I have a medical pension from the NYPD.
Oh, okay. That's different.
No, I'm not. Right.
I thought the podcasting yeah. was making all this money. I was like, dude, let me in
wrong?
On
yeah.
where's the pot of gold, buddy?
we get paid. We do get paid for the podcast.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, because I'm not a headliner. I'm not afraid to say that. I know that. You know, I'm a good feature middle guy. You know, that's my thing. I'm working my way up. My co-host Greg, he's the same as me. We're in the same lane, you know. So unless we're making crazy headlining money soon, which is not, you know, foreseeable in my immediate future, just getting gigs, you know, steadily, and the podcast, that's where the other money's coming in. So
are you doing
pretty
much? Much actual, like, touring right now at all, or are you doing that?
For our comedy touring,
yeah.
for the podcast?
No.
Yeah, we have a... sorry, go ahead.
No, either one was fine. Either one...
Right now, for our individual comedy stuff, we're mm-hmm. just doing, East Coast stuff.
Gotcha.
As far as our show is going, though, we are doing the show live, this month we'll be in Philly doing the show live. Then there's a lot of stuff we're also in talks for that we're not allowed to say yet.
Yeah.
So there's those that I can't tell you what we're doing or when or where, but be on the lookout. And the next closest thing I can talk about is October. We're going to be at the Crossroads Comedy Festival in Indianapolis doing the show there.
Oh, cool. That's real good.
So that's, yeah.
So what number are you guys on your podcast now? How many episodes deep are you? You've been doing this for a while
40,
now.
44?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll say 44. see, the funny thing of the history of our podcast is I met Greg last year. Mm-hmm. Before that, again, I'm a comic, I'm lazy. I've always been lazy. I have this podcast, but I didn't take it seriously. I wasn't realizing like how it could actually help my career. I was just like, oh, I'll just do it. I put no time into it, no like real value into it. It was just a shit show. I took a large hiatus because I got married and stuff, so I had to take a break. I was like, hey, you know what? Maybe I should start this podcast up again, but like take it seriously this time instead of just half-assing it. Mm. And I met Greg. I invited him on the show. We just really clicked, and I asked him, like, hey, you want to be my permanent co-host? He was like, fuck yeah. And ever since we both started together, our show really took off.
Yeah, it sounds. I've only listened to about 1.5 of them, unfortunately. but it sounds like you guys have a nice little, differing opinions and interests, which allows you guys to kind of keep moving on and relate to your guests. It's real nice.
Yeah, people always tell us like you guys are so different, but you mesh well so well together. And that's what I think it is. I think it's like, we both are at our core comic book fans, movie fans, we both love that stuff, but I'm more of the jockey athletic guy, he's more of the, reserved, antique guy, he likes the older, 40s horror movies and stuff like that, and it's just this weird dynamic, but it works so well, and we're both comics, so that always helps,
Absolutely.
Definitely helps you both be very funny on the podcast, for sure.
Yeah.
So, can I ask you why, why did you decide to start the podcast? Like, what was your inspiration for, what did you want to get out there? Was it just, I want to tell jokes and put them on the internet? Or was it more like, I want to meet people? What was your impetus?
At first, it was purely just to do it. Wasn't taking it seriously. When I realized, oh, I could really help out my career, stupid, I should probably, put a little more attention to this. Then I started doing it for a lot of the reasons you just said. Promote ourselves, really work our show, really wanting to put our show out there. I love meeting all the people we talk to. Like, it's so fun. Yeah. I mean, for people who don't know who we are, listening to your show right now, we have on, the name of our show is Nerds with Words. Mm-hmm. And people read the title and they go, oh, it's a comic book show. Like, it's the furthest thing from that. We just call it Nerds with Words because it's catchy, number one. Number two, mm-hmm. we are both nerds and we like to talk. So we thought it's a good name, So, mm-hmm. so we stuck with it. But we talk to actors, authors, astrophysicists, scientists, mm-hmm. doctors, professors, MMA fighters, because I used to fight when amateur when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
I have that attachment to MMA guys. We have so many different guests on, other podcast hosts, the comics, obviously, because we both know about 50 kajillion comics each. So we're never at the at the empty there. We talk to everyone. We don't pigeonhole ourselves, which I think is people like because it's. They might be like, I'm not super into MMA, but oh, who's on this week? Oh, an author of a graphic novel? Yeah, I'm in. I like reading.
Right.
We run the gamut. Like, we just have a huge amalgam of guests, and I just love talking to different people, hearing different opinions, having great discussions. It's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah, I have enjoyed it myself as we've been doing it. That's really great. Now, as far as I know that Patrick asked about touring. You were talking about touring with the podcast. Did you talk about touring with you as a stand-up? Or have you and or Greg gone out to do that, to get out?
We're not headliners, so it's way harder to do that.
Sure.
But we're always doing clubs or rooms or whatever venues all the time, but it's more East Coast local stuff. We're not going to Minnesota, you know?
Yeah.
Now, for the show, we're getting to that point where we can do that with our podcast. But as far as individual stuff goes, we have stuff in the works for individual shows that we're going to be doing, but also together, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, I think I can talk about this. If not, I'm gonna get a nasty text message.
It's okay. This might not come out for a couple of months, so you get some buffer time.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Oh, okay, perfect. The part of the podcast network we're part of is the BS Podcast Network, and on this network are a lot of shows, and a lot of these shows are also comics, and I personally know a lot of these comics.
Right.
And Greg does too. We're friends. We do shows together. I know them. They all live kind of in the area. We're talking about doing a BS Podcast Network comedy show with all the comedians from the podcast network.
Oh, that's great.
That's something we're going to look to be doing soon. Again, there's a lot of things in the works that it's the details that aren't finally hammered out yet, and that always seems to be the holdup in all this stuff.
Yeah.
This is the fine print.
Those lawyers, man.
You gotta find one person who wants to do the producing. Yeah. The person who doesn't mind making the 27 scheduling phone calls and being like, can you do it now? Yeah. Can you do it then? What about this place?
That's not me. I'm trying to get other people to do that.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's not my style either.
Oh, I love that, actually. Yeah.
Thank goodness Amy does.
I do that stuff. I like that stuff. It's real fun for me.
Oh, man, you want to manage us?
From Texas? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how that would work. Maybe.
I don't give a shit. I'm sick of doing it myself. I'm over it.
Right? Oh, man. Oof. Yeah, there's a lot of legwork to getting yourself out there in this world, especially with there being so many comedians and stuff like that. I mean, comedy's so huge these days. There's such an oversaturation sometimes of comedians. Sometimes I think, oh man, I'm just yelling into the dark void. But then I heard a comedian actually describe doing stand-up that way. So I was like, that's pretty much the same. I've either got a microphone and I'm on a stage, or I got a microphone and I'm sitting in a studio looking at Patrick. So
that's true.
It's pretty much the same.
Yeah, it really is. It's hard, but it's fun. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah,
it's a great way to communicate with people, for sure. Oh, wild. So tell me, what's your as far as your I know that you're working on like a comedy event right now, but what's your sort of next dream that you're working on? If you had, you know, like a big overarching goal or something like that, what do you think that'd be? Some huge thing,
man,
that's unattainable right now. 10, 15 years in the future.
Nationally headlining would be amazing.
Yeah.
That's far out, 15 years, but but I think our immediate goals are to really just take our show live across the country and do that.
Nice.
That's our immediate goals, yeah.
Your episodes are not live right now, right?
Yeah, we record ours and then we put them out. We don't do it live.
Okay, yeah, right on. Interesting. Yeah, my husband does a podcast called Dudes and Beer, and they go live via the Spreaker app. So that's a helpful way to get you to go live. It takes away a lot of the worry and the guesswork from being able to go live. It seems like a really difficult thing to do, but they have it all set up for you. You just hit go live, and then you do.
Right.
And then whatever you say out of your microphone.
The funny thing is, too, is like we don't edit the podcast like at all. Like we don't cut things out. We don't put things in. It's just it's more of a pain in the ass. Like it's really just us. Because it doesn't really matter to us. You know, like we put it out. We record it and then we put it out. But we also record episodes in advance sometimes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So we can't always go. We usually can't go live for that matter.
Yeah.
Because we release them every Sunday, and sometimes we'll do 2-3 episodes in a day. That's like a 7-8 hour day. Yeah. Most of our podcasts are 1.5 to 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So, going live, it doesn't make sense for us. There's no reason for us to do it.
Yeah, my husband's thing has a lot to do with current events. So, like, they're talking about, you know, this major thing that happened today. Let's talk about it. So, that's generally what their topic is.
I listen to your husband's podcast. I like it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot you guys talked as well.
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah. Good old Twitter, making the world small.
Yeah, the good old Twitter said no one ever.
I actually really love Twitter.
It gives me such anxiety when I post something.
I've had such nice interactions on Twitter. I've met nice people. I read people saying that they have horrible times. And you know what? I hear people saying that they have horrible times in real life. Like that people are rude to them or say things to them. And I just, listen, Patrick, I'm real charmed. And my life is real nice, and people are generally nice to me, so that's why I like it.
I say dumb stuff a lot, and that's then put on the internet forever, so...
Usually by me, as a, like, listen to this Patrick quote from the podcast, and then I put it in the post.
Yeah, that's my main problem with Twitter.
I love Twitter, too, but Twitter's like if it was a vaccine for cancer... But then that vaccine gave you AIDS. It's like, hey, we cured the cancer, but now you have AIDS. It's like, all right, so it's half good. Like, you know, that's what all social media is. It's such a good and bad, you know, thing.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. It's like you got out of Facebook, but now you got Twitter to deal with. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, but, you know, Twitter has helped us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the two biggest things that helped our podcast was Twitter and our individual stand-up stuff. Because we talk to people, we spread out the word.
Right.
Those two things really help. And I think if you have any forum, again, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever the fuck it is, stand outside on a soapbox in the middle of your town and yell it. People will listen and people will tune in if they like it, you know? And that's all that you could ask for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wild. Pretty great. So, as far as comedy goes, what is your, how did you get started? What was your, like, beginnings? Were you in high school doing it, or, I know that you were a policeman, but, you know, you said you were doing comedy even during that time.
Yeah, I had a weird ride into comedy. I was always a giant fan of stand-up comedy. I mean, in high school, yes, I would listen, to all the guys I grew up idolizing, like Jim Norton, Bill Burr, Louis C.K., those guys, Robert Kelly, Patrice O'Neill, the late, great Patrice O'Neill, and I was like, God, I want to do that, you know? Thing is, you're 20 years old, you're in college, you're like, all right, so I tried at 18, and I was doing it for a little bit, and then I was scared, and I didn't pull the trigger, not scared of performing, scared I wasn't going to make money off it or like have a career, and I stopped at 19 years old, at 20 years old technically I stopped. I also always loved the idea of law enforcement, so at 21 I became a cop. You know, 5 years in I was like, you know what, I love this, but I kind of feel like I missed out on doing stand-up. So I started slow, you know, but being a cop and being a comic is very hard at the same time. Because you're always working weekends and nights and shit, you know? It's like when comedy is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was harder, but I was doing it. And then I got hurt for the last time. And then that, I was like, you know what? I can really just do this full time again. And that's what happened.
Huh. Interesting how that is. Makes me think of Pete Holmes. You see, you ever watch his show Crashing?
Great show.
Yeah, when it kicks off with his divorce, right? So your comedy yeah. career kicks off with Getting Hurt. It's an HBO series. I can see it right now. We can do it in New York. Listen, Judd Apatow, I know you're listening. It's a great story. Right. Oh, yeah. Get it out there. We'll see. Well, it'll be a great sitcom on HBO. So it'll be edgy.
You're hyping up this fictional thing that's never going to happen. Now I'm excited about it.
That's all I have in my life, too.
That's how I do. That's how I do it. Yeah.
Whatever thing I'm going to give up, she stands behind me and gives me that speech. So.
Yeah, no, that's precisely what I do.
Oh, that's so funny. Can you call me every day and tell me that?
I'm going to start sending you weird messages on Twitter, I'll tell you.
I'm for it.
I think we found how we're going to monetize this. Amy, you're just going to start doing special requests for people.
I'm just going to say nice things to people? I'll do it. That seems fine. That seems fully acceptable.
Yeah, totally. It's your new career.
Actually, I don't know that it could be my career, but there's another comedian named Josh Gondelman, who we interviewed here on the podcast, but he does stand-up and writes for TV and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And occasionally on Twitter, he puts out a tweet that says, like, if anybody needs a pep talk, let me know. And any person, whether he knows them personally or not, can say, yeah, I need one. And he just sends them back like a nice little message where it's all like, and I'm, you know what's sweet? I know he goes and reads their Twitter bio and then gives them something slightly personalized because that's how I met him the first time. I saw the pep talk thing and I was like, yeah, I need a pep talk. And he wrote like a little thing that was clearly referencing the part of my bio that was like, I teach comedy. And he's like, you're out there teaching great minds, making them feel good. I'm like, yeah, I am. You're right.
Yeah, I'm way too selfish and negative to do that. So if you want to be sad, reach out to me on Twitter. I'm really sad.
Just roast on demand.
No, I don't want to be sad. I'm not sad. No, that's why I do improv, because it's like fairy tales and sparkles and lots of hugs.
You know, it's funny. Greg and I always talk about improv and. That's something that I can't do, man.
I'm sure you can.
Have you actually?
It's not for me. I'm just not good at it.
Oh, well, I'm 3 years in now. I still think I'm good, so keep going.
Yeah. I've been teaching people for 6 years now, and I don't know if I'm very good, but I've made some great improvisers.
I'm sure you are.
It's just that artist doubt, right? And we kind of always have that.
Well, I have that voice in my head, and in fact, in my improv classes, I talk about it directly. Even in the workshops that I teach, it's like the first thing that I say to every new class I'm teaching. I'm like, all right, let's all acknowledge right now that there's a voice in our head telling us that we're dumb all the time. You got it? Yeah, I got it too. So let's, as a group, every time we're together in this room, let's just resolve not to listen to that voice. During these 2 hours, that voice is like verboten. We're not listening. That guy's dumb. We're not, that voice doesn't know nothing. We're going to try and have fun and do that kind of stuff. And people are always, like, I had a student afterwards that was like, I don't think I've ever had anyone, like, literally acknowledge to me that was a real thing. And I was like, yeah, it is. Everybody's got it.
Once again, pep talks. You're doing pep talks to me.
Well, there's something good about, there's something good about acknowledging that we all have the same, sadness, as opposed to, like, I'm alone, I'm the only one, everyone's happy. Like, reading people's curated fucking Facebook profiles that are just like mine, for instance. Mine is nothing but positive stuff. It's just like, having a great day. Especially now that I have the baby, I'm like, look at this cute baby. I never have to say anything about myself ever again.
Just, post about your kid.
Oh, you know what's funny? Talking about people's kids on Facebook, I immediately unfollow you. I don't want to see your kid. If anybody puts a picture of their kid on Facebook, you get unfollowed. I don't give a fuck about your life or your family. Sorry. I only want comedy news, sports things, Or police stuff. That's it. I don't want to read. I don't want to see fucking happy families.
So
I want to see sad things or funny things and sports related things.
Depending on your view of families, that's a sad thing for some people.
Yeah, I mean, I know people that have totally unfollowed their entire family. Oh, wow. Like, and then, what was it, one of the comics that we had on here, Mac Blake, was talking about how he, like, curates what happens in his, like, in the news feed so that he doesn't have to look at certain things. And I was like, teach me. I was like, mine's just a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I'm just out now. I'm done. Yeah. 32 days in, I think.
You're 32 days off of Facebook?
Yeah, but, like, not actually scrolling. If somebody tags me, yeah.
You go look at it, but that's it?
Because I have to still look at all this comedy shit.
Yeah.
Look at it like you're getting off heroin. It's like you start the methadone, so you start the methadone. You know, you just look at the tags, and then after that, bam, you're clean, it's over.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Twitter was the methadone. I was like, yeah, Patrick, get on Twitter.
No.
Twitter is free base crack.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's hard to get off social media now because, like you're saying, it's the tool we use. And it's the tool other people are using to try to get a hold of me to do things. So it's like, I can't get off of it. But
oh, my God. I hate business correspondence.
On Twitter,
What was that?
Yeah. I said so many people reach out to us on Twitter and social media going like, hey, you guys want to do this? Hey, you want to do that?
Right.
You know.
Yes, yeah, so you got to keep in it. It's just, ugh.
Yeah.
Well, also, anyone who's anti-law enforcement gets fucking immediately unfriended off any social media.
That makes sense, man.
It makes a lot of sense.
Immediately. God.
It's totally fine. You don't have to look at my pictures of my baby. I'm really just hiding behind him all the time anyway. I'll never, I've been not telling people what I think and feel for so long that it doesn't actually matter, and now I just put up photos. Though, in a little bit, I've decided that I'm going to stop putting up pictures of the kid. Why? Mm. Because at a certain point, he becomes a child that's, like, I don't know, abductable, I guess? I mean, he's abductable now, but, like, at the same time, I'm like, I don't really want to cover the internet with a bunch of photos of my kid so that somebody can be all like, yeah, that looks good. I want that. Let me take it home. I don't know how they do
it.
I don't know how people work. I'm not a kid never. Don't make that face at me, Patrick.
Now I'm just picturing a person scrolling through like it's catalog. It's very disturbing in my head.
I'm sorry. That's what I imagine sometimes. Well, also, like, he's a person.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the people whose entire lives will be cataloged on social media?
No.
Like, I didn't join social media till I turned 30, which is the best news of my life.
I went back and deleted my MySpace, I think, 3 years ago.
Oh, I don't think I've ever deleted my MySpace. It's still there.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit.
Facebook and Instagram is like a fucking Sears catalog for pedophiles.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
They can scroll through and be like, oh, I like I like item I-25. I'm going to try to find him. You know, it's creepy, man. Like,
precisely. Yeah, no. Plus, you know, at a certain point, my kid's gonna be a teen, and if there's, like, pictures of him, like, in a bath on the internet, and someone can be all like, hey, man, I found this old picture of you. You're weird. But I guess everybody will have all of their pictures. It's not unusual.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. The first time you bring someone home, you're gonna show them that picture, Amy.
Whatever. Where are the digital files gonna be? I don't have any photos.
You're gonna print them out.
I'm gonna print them out.
The cloud. Be in the cloud, yeah. Man.
In the cloud.
You'll plug directly
get
in.
Get the cloud. I don't believe in the cloud. No. I want to live in a cabin in the woods, far away from the internet.
It's real nice.
And never speak to people. You can live in a cabin in the woods.
No, but I took a nice vacation to Alaska, and that was good enough. Highly recommend it.
They have these fake log cabin things that they sell just outside of the city.
Oh, I've seen them, yeah.
And
I want them.
Chris and I want to buy them so bad. We want to, like, buy a plot of land just outside of the city in the, like, there's no lights here.
Right.
The stars are your only nightlight sort of situation. And put a bunch of log cabins on there and just be like, this is where we live!
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good with, like, you know, a house.
You like the electricity and stuff? All right. I mean, that's a
fine. Yeah, I like watching TV and playing video games and, you know, watching movies. I'm okay with that.
I like electricity. I wouldn't move anywhere without the AC. Good Lord, Adam. How could I possibly live without AC? You know it's 100 degrees every minute here, right?
In fact,
I've heard.
A building in the city caught on fire because an art installation had mirrors today.
No
shit.
That
mirrors
hilarious.
Reflected the sun and caught a building on fire.
What? Downtown somewhere?
I forget. I was listening to NPR.
Oh, my God. A building?
Yeah, it was something like $30,000 worth of damage. Yeah.
I'm like a real bitch with heat, though. Like, if it gets 85 degrees or 80 degrees, I'm like, oh, my God, where's the AC? Like, I'm like such a prima donna. Like, I hate heat. I don't like being sweaty and, like right now, it's like 90 degrees. And, like, I'm just basking in AC. Like, it feels so good.
So funny. 80 degrees, I'd put a sweater on, Adam. I'd wear a sweater. That's what I'd be wearing. I just want you to know.
There's no humidity, right? Where you are, there's like no humidity?
I think somewhere the water came. Because I thought there wasn't a lot of humidity either. And then all of a sudden this year, there's been some.
We got the lake. We got a big lake or two. Dammed up rivers, really.
It used to be empty is the thing. When I moved to town, there was a drought, okay? And when you went to the lake, it was like a post-apocalyptic, like, vision of the world. You'd go to a lake, and it would just be a dry, craggle ground, like, hole in the ground.
With a boat that had been put out there when the water was high.
Yep, yeah. And it's just standing
it's just
in
on
the
a rock
middle.
Now.
Yeah, absolutely, that's how it works out. When I first moved to town, that's what it was like. I remember I went on a date with my husband, and we, like, thought we'd go to the lake, and so we went to the craggle hole, and we were like, oh, look at this horrible, I really thought there'd be water, and there was not. But recently there's been a lot of rain, so now there's all this damn water in the lakes, and then it makes it humid. Boo.
What, like life?
Boo water. Boo. I'm boo. Against water in general. I like it when it's dry.
Yeah, the Northeast is just humid as fuck. Like, it's the worst.
I know.
It sucks.
It's a goddamn ocean.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Stupid
ocean.
Like,
stupid ocean.
Or anything.
I know, dumb ocean. What are you doing there?
So annoying.
You're just, like, separating me from, like, being able to walk to, like, Portugal. Get out of there! I just want to.
You gotta be on a 40-day walk.
Yeah, I was thinking about how long that walk was.
It's like a 40-month walk.
Yeah.
I'd take a car if it were dry. Guys, come on.
Oh, you're
guys.
Right. You're right.
People used to die walking from goddamn Oregon to Washington State. You're gonna make it across 3,500 miles.
All right, it used to be called the Oregon Trail. It'll be called the Portugal Trail. And I will walk. I'll get a horse-drawn carriage, and I'm going to go real slow.
Real slow?
Well,
From log cabin to log cabin.
If the trail has taught me anything, you're going to die dysentery.
I knew that was going to happen. Damn it!
I learned not to pack only sugar. That was always my mistake as a child.
Don't.
I packed just sugar. Yeah.
That's a hilarious child problem.
I was an idiot.
I like the idea that a child would do that.
I know, what a complicated game to give children. It's like, this literally is life or death. You guys will figure it out at seven. It's like,
you
all
get
right.
It.
You get it, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
You can make huge decisions.
It toughened us up.
My dad likes to remind me of the times I tried to run away as a kid and the items that I packed with me or did not pack. He would laugh at me about, like, you brought cans of soup? Cool. Do you have a can opener? Like, and I was like, ah, come on.
I brought a CD player and a G.I. Joe. Like, I'm good. I'll see you later.
Great to go.
Yep. I never brought anything with me. It was like, I'm just wearing these clothes. I'm walking away now.
I'm out of here.
I'd start walking down the street. The end of my street was like a major highway street. So it was like nice suburban street, and when you got to the end of the hill, it was like three-lane highway on either side. I'd be like, all right, I think I'm going back.
Did you run away? Did every kid run away at some point? Is that a thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember my brothers doing it.
Like, I mean, I feel good about us talking about this now so that when my child runs away, I don't think, like, I'm horrible. Oh, he hates me. It's like, nah, it's a thing.
It's, people do it.
It's fine.
It is a thing, yeah.
If you don't get too far, it's fine.
Right.
Yeah, just come back.
Nobody,
I remember when I was a kid. Like, I'm such a bitch. I remember when I was a kid. like, me and my dad are, like, fucking best friends. Like, me and my dad are super close. Like, I can count on my hand the amount of times I actually got into, like, a fight with my dad in my life. But I remember I was, like, I want to say six. Or I could be older than six. And my dad was yelling at me because I was being a fucking dick. And I was like, I hate you. I hope you leave. And he goes, okay. And he just walked out of the house. But all he really did was walk out of the house and just close the door behind him and stand there.
Yeah.
And I immediately broke down, like the bitch I am. I was like, I was just kidding. I was just mad. I'm sorry. Like, crying. And my dad's like, yeah, I fucking thought so. Like, he closed the door. And I was like, all right.
See, I would say you're a realist is all you were. You were a realist. You realized you're screwed without an adult.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't a selfish, like, I don't know. It was like, oh my god, my best friend just left me. Like, my dad just left. What did I say? And then he just taught me a really good lesson. That's what he did.
That's a great reason then.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
No, I'm the only child.
Mm. Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, great. Yeah. I like that. That seems good.
I'm the middle child, so.
Yeah, that explains everything.
My wife has two, a brother and a sister, and I feel like now I have to deal with all that drama, too.
Yeah.
And the damn presents. There's just so many presents with the siblings.
And then they have kids. It's like, oh, man, what's going on with all that? And they always say things like, no, just get things for the kids. And you're like, no, you know what, how much easier it is to buy for you than it is to buy for some, like, 14-year-old kid?
Well, and if
you're like, what do you like? Are you just going to hate whatever I give you? Yeah, okay, well.
Yeah, true. This gold brick is stupid. It's like, all right. It's like, whatever you, you're right. Whatever you give them, they just fucking hate.
And
here's a brand new iPad. It's like, those stupid iPads. This is so last year.
Oh, my God.
It's like, all right.
And if you have to go around, like, what the parents want or don't want their kids to have, too, you know, trying to figure that thing out.
Yeah,
no, they don't. They can't do TV yet.
Oh, no, they're not allowed to have sugar.
Yeah. Oh, caffeine? Oh, good God. I remember the day that one of my friends found out, like, she was like, she didn't know that, like, tea had caffeine in it, too. But had been like, no, they can't have any sodas or anything. I was upset about, you know, them having a soda on accident. Because didn't know, you know. It was like, you've fed them caffeinated drinks their entire life. You just thought it was good for them.
Yeah.
They're fine. I lived in a house that had lead paint as a kid. It's fine.
Right. Yeah, we're all right.
George Carlin bit is very true. When he's like, you know, I used to play in raw sewage. It's like, my immune system is great. He's right. Because even when I'm 30. I'll be 31 this year. Even my generation of, you know, my age group, like, we all played outside, and, like, there was no, like, make sure you wash your hands, make sure you can't eat this, can't eat that. It was like, do whatever you want, see you later. You know, it was, I never get sick. I get sick once a year.
When I was growing up in Germany, we would, like, bike out into the hills, and there was this really cool hill we wanted to play on, right?
Wait, time out. Yeah. Scale back that story. What do you mean when I was growing up in Germany? You don't just open a sentence with that and not explain that.
I'm a military brat. I'm a military brat. So I moved around. So we were...
He worked it on his accent for so long.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
German nationals, yeah, right? Thing.
So German.
So we were, like, living off base up there. And but the hill that we played on every day, we found out when we moved, they're like, oh, no, that's the city trash dump. That's, we just bury trash there, cover it with some dirt, and you dumb kids just played on it for years.
Right.
Fine. Right. Totally fine.
Yeah, nothing totally wrong fine. With you. Nothing
no,
wrong
nothing
with you.
Nothing wrong with me
no,
at all.
You are very normal.
Well adjusted.
Yeah, I'm less worried about, like, germs bothering my kid so much as I'm worried about, I don't know, the internet, like, just because not even the internet, like, the act, like being on the internet or whatever. Nah, he's my kid and he's my husband's kid. The two of us were insane. He's gonna do some fucked up shit, and I'm just gonna have to deal with that. But what my concern is the, like, the waves, the, like, energy. You know what I mean? Like
Wi-Fi signals and stuff?
Or, yeah, like the signal. Just because with our phones and then with the TV and then with everything, there's so much, like, stuff, like, flying through the air that we don't even know how it affects us. And we're old, like, comparatively to my child, who's 2 months old. But, like, his body will be bombarded with it his entire life, whereas our bodies were bombarded with it maybe from our maybe from, like, our 20s all the way through to now. But, you know.
How are we going to get superheroes if we don't have stuff like this, Amy? This is how we get superheroes.
I was just going to toss him in raw sewage.
I've been jumping around in radiation for goddamn 30 years. I can't get any powers.
Yeah. I just thought I'd give him some extra x-rays. I'm going to be like, nah, don't put the lead vest on. just do it direct on him. He's cool.
He's
cool.
He's fine.
Yeah, I want his heart to grow 4 sizes so that he becomes super loving man. I don't know. I don't know what that's about. That's not good. I'm not the cop. All right, listen. I can give support, but creating comic book characters, not me.
This is why I do sketch. I get several takes on it.
Yeah, I'm riffing. It's not going well.
Do you do sketch, or are you trying to get into any of that, or no. writing for no?
I can write. I write well, but as far as you mean, like, doing sketch comedy and stuff like that.
No. Maybe
or, like, writing for it.
Writing for it, or writing for, you know, 30-minute shows.
I for sure could. Yeah. But it's just something I haven't really sat down. I actually made a movie, but it never got edited. And it's not a comedy. It's a short film. It was a short thriller film. Uh-huh. And the whole thing I made, and then we kind of ran out of funding when it came to editing. And now it's, I have all this footage sitting on my laptop, unedited. I have the background for it, of, you know, script writing and screenwriting or whatever. It's just I never really, you know, tried after that.
No.
So that's not part of the Philly comedy scene that you're really actively a part of. You're really more just in the stand-up crowd. What's that like? Are there open mics multiple nights a week?
Oh, there's open mic almost every day of the week. You can find one. I mean, I go to open mics all the time to work on stuff. All the time.
Right on.
You know, it's the best place to work on stuff.
Do you mostly do book shows or open mics?
No, I use open mics to work on new material.
Okay.
Right on.
So I you don't want to go to an actual show and be like, oh, let's see if this one works. I did that a few times and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I went against all my instincts and did it again in May. And I had this long story that didn't really work out. And in my head, I'm like, nah, I'll be fine. And I went on. I was like, oh, I forgot so much of that joke. Like in the middle of it, like, so I was like, I guess I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, I've done that so many times. I always try to go out. Sometimes I'll pitch ideas. People let me do things they shouldn't let me do a lot. Yeah. People are always like, oh, but Amy's fine. She's going to, whatever she does is going to be good. I'm like, listen, guys, I've thrown a lot of stuff against the wall that did not fly. So don't let me just do whatever. I understand moments where I've done shows where, like, I've totally planned out the whole thing, and then as soon as I get up there, I immediately go, nah, you know what? I'm going to do this thing instead. And then it just fails hard.
Did you not do the take up a notebook or anything just in case, Amy? Is that not?
Oh, well, usually, or you just like usually my thing's like a bit. Oh,
okay.
Like when I'm doing stuff, when I did stand-up, in New York City as well, Adam. After I went to college in Dallas, but then I went back to the East Coast to live with my parents after college, and ended up moving to New York City to do theater and stand up and stuff like that. So when I did stand up, though, I did it in like alt rooms, like really avant-garde little spots in the Lower East Side that were like mostly supportive, and also I've said this before, but I rested on the laurels of the fact that mostly people like me when they meet me. So I didn't really do much work. I didn't write jokes. I mean, I wrote a few jokes, but I didn't really put a lot of effort into it because I would just walk up and essentially be like, "Hi, I'm Amy. You like me, right?" And people would be like, "Yeah, we do like you." And I'd be like, "Great. I'm going to keep being me for the next 4 minutes, and you guys are going to love it." And they'd go, "Yay." So that doesn't really push you to write better material. So
yeah, sure does.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, yeah. So later on, I got into improv, and down here, I joined a theater as it was starting, the New Movement Theater, and took classes with them in improv, and then immediately started teaching for them. So I've been performing for 8, 9 years, and then teaching for about 7. So, so that's pretty wild, but man, stand-up is hard.
That's why I don't do it.
Yeah. It's just real, man.
It's hard, but it's fun. It's definitely fun.
Do you do, like, storytelling style? Do you do, like, individual jokes?
Yeah, most of my stuff is, I pepper those in, but most of it's, like, stories I have.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working on 2 new stories now. I'll see how that goes.
Right on. Do you ever do stuff like The Moth? Or those, like, storytelling events and stuff? They have a bunch of those in New York.
No, not really. It's just things I gotta... I guess just more looking around myself. Just, you know, again, I'm lazy, so.
Sure, I hear that.
Oh, the best being a lazy piece of garbage, and just gotta do more.
Well, Amy's gonna start managing you soon, so she'll get on that for you.
Yeah, so. We need it. We need someone to be like, "Hey, dickhead, you gotta go here." I'm like, "All right."
I was like, if you help me figure out how to make money with my podcast, I'll tell you you're good every day. Don't worry. For sure. I'll make phone calls and be like, "They're going to be here at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday. They're going to do it."
She'll do it in the newsy voice she just did, too.
Yeah, that's how I produce.
Yeah, the
40s,
yeah. Extra,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So whenever I call on your behalf, I'll be like, "Hi, how you doing? This is the manager of Adam and Greg. How's it going?" And they're like, "Wow, this girl means business."
Pass, click.
Pass.
Oh, rejection. That's so good.
But that's okay, because Newsy Voice takes rejection really well. So they're like, "All right, that seems fine."
Next, yeah. They get wood nickels a lot. They're used to it.
Very positive. Very positive. They lived on nothing. They were 8 years old and they sold newspapers. They actually led a revolution. A fucking revolution, Patrick. There were 8.
Wait, are you referencing the musical right now?
Yes, I am.
Because I have actually never seen it.
What?
Or the movie with the young Christian Bale.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Oh my God.
My brother loved it. I did not watch that movie.
It's like so good and you would love it. And I'm going to say... Wendell, our other co-host who's not here, I can almost 100% guarantee he loves that movie. I can,
It's for sure not good. Don't watch it, but, you know.
Thank you. Thank you for siding with me on this one.
Whatever.
Hey guys, I actually have to go. I have to help my wife's elderly dog, give her an IV bag.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Well, that's not a good reason to have to go. I'm sorry to hear that.
I was going
to
say, if that's an excuse, that was amazingly well detailed and really got me. I was like, wow, you have to go.
I told her an hour ago. I promised her. She's looking at me at the window like, "I need help." And I'm like, "All right."
Oh, poor dog.
I'm sorry to hear that. But thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It was so much fun. Can I just say all my social media stuff so I can shamelessly plug myself like a whore?
Yeah, do it. Plug it up. That's not the right phrase.
Follow us on Twitter at Nerds with Words 1, the number 1, at Nerds with Words 1. Follow myself at Adam Nutter. On Instagram, we're nerds.with.words. Also, my personal Instagram at _Nutter. Facebook.com/NerdsWords Podcast, or I should just live with this. Go to our website, NerdsWordsPodcast.com, and all of our information is on there. That would be way easier to say. So go to NerdsWordsPodcast.com, look for our tour dates, look for our social media, our contact, all that stuff's on NerdsWordsPodcast.com. And you can find our podcast anywhere you find podcasts.
That's so great. Thank you so much for talking to us. It's really great to have a podcast chat. I'm really excited about it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for being part of our Pennsylvania. We realized we started interviewing comics outside of Texas and realized we interviewed three or four all from Pennsylvania. So I was like, ha! We're showcasing the other state. It's going to be great.
Well, thanks so much, man.
Well, again, thanks so much, guys. Sorry I had to cut it short.
No,
you're perfect. Thank you so much for chatting with us. Have a great evening.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast.